Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It's unfortunate to know that people learn about everything except about life. And that's why there is so much crisis in the world today. Leadership is an art. And it has to be learned. It can be developed. And that's why we're here. So we start to this afternoon by first defining what is leadership. And I'd like to start by saying that God himself is the author of leadership. God himself is the author of leadership. When man was created, God said, have dominion. That simply means take the lead. Take charge. Give leadership. So from Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we saw God as the author of leadership. So man is created essentially to take the lead, to set the pace, to blaze the trail. So we try to quickly look at what is leadership. Leadership is not occupying a seat. Leadership is taking the lead. Leadership is setting the pace. And leadership is blazing the trail. It is not occupying a seat, therefore it is accomplishing a feat. It is not an appointment, it is an attainment. It is not occupying a position, it is making outstanding contributions. It's not just about having a qualification, essentially about making outstanding contributions. So occupying a position does not make a leader. Acquiring qualifications does not also make a leader. Leadership is essentially task defined. That is, you have a field and you are making waves in your field. So you have leading lawyers, leading academics, leading ministers of the gospel, political leaders. Unfortunately, people think that leadership is limited to political leadership. No, it's one out of a million areas where leaders, where leadership is defined. Have dominion. God created man, placed him in the garden, blessed him. And asked him to take the lead. Define the direction for the people, for his creation. So it is first in identifying your field. Where do I belong? That's where your leadership journey begins from. Until your field is discovered, your leadership can never have expressions. So you have leading entrepreneurs, leading industrialists, leading politicians, leading professionals. So it is your field that defines your leadership. And your contribution in your field is what defines your level of leadership. Jack of all trades, they say, master of none. You are never a leader except in a well-defined field. And the Bible says, your young men shall see visions. So it's your time to be able to define in very specific terms where you actually belong. That's your job, to be able to define where you actually belong. There are many world acclaimed leaders today who are far from politics. And all through human history, that's the way it has been. Think of a man like Bill Gates. Bill Gates is not a politician. But a man of global reputation in his field, which has given him a place in the world. Billy Graham is not a politician, but a leading minister of the gospel who has made unusual accomplishments in ministry. That's where it is all over the world. Richard Branson in America in England is not a politician, but a great business leader who has made his marks on the sands of time. John D. Rockefeller was never a politician, but a generational leader who, though is dead, yet he speaks. What am I talking about? It's important for you to be able to define your field. That's where your journey into leadership begins. My people, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people are stripped of honor and dignity. Their color is lost. Their reputation is lost because they have no vision. So you need to know where you belong. You are a carpenter, you must strive to become the carpenter. You are a tailor, you strive to become the tailor. Wherever you are, you give expression to your leadership by making outstanding contributions there. That is where leadership begins from. And if it's in making outstanding contributions, then it must come from your high-level development in your field. That's where it comes from. The Lord said to Adam, he said, dress it and keep it. He gave him a task in his field in order to give expression to his leadership. Dress it and keep it. So you must strive to dress your field and keep it. Make it fit for thyself. And afterwards to build thy house. Therefore, like I said, until your field is discovered, your leadership potentials cannot have expression. So vision is the true foundation for great leadership. Knowing where you belong and staying there. Everybody here belongs somewhere. We don't all belong to the same field. So it is individual's task, therefore, to discover his own field. In Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, number 6, he said, look not upon me because I'm black. My mother's children gave me their vineyard to keep. My own vineyard have not I kept. So everybody has a vineyard which he has to discover. Everybody has a vineyard which he has to discover. My own vineyard have not I kept. My own vineyard have not I kept. Somebody asked me in one of my trips on leadership development programs, he said, why do you use the Bible as the platform for your teachings on leadership? And I said to him, this book called the Bible is not just a book. It's not just a religious book. It is the Creator's manual for living. This book is what? The Creator's manual. Every time you buy a piece of equipment, there's a little literature put inside. That literature is called the manual. It helps you to understand the content and the functions of the equipment you have bought. God is the sole creator of man. And man is fearfully and wonderfully made. So he has to prepare a manual that will help man understand his makeup and understand what is required of him in order to enjoy the fullness of God's plan for his life. You know, in Psalm 100, he said, "It is God that has made us and not we ourselves." How many agree that they are made? You are not a biological accident. You are a definite creature of a creator. So you are made. And then in Psalm 139 verse 14, he said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." So we didn't just happen. We were specially made. Then he went on and said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." Jeremiah 1:5. So Jeremiah was formed. God didn't stop forming people after Adam. He's still forming people up till now. "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and I ordained thee, and I separated thee to be a prophet unto nations." So every one of us alive today is individually, specifically formed and packaged for a particular purpose on earth. A discovery of that purpose is what we call a vision. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is the Creator's manual for living. And he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So you are wonderfully and fearfully made, and with a manual to help guide your adventure on earth. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is the Creator's manual for profitable living. All scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrines, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and prepared unto every good work. So the Bible is made up. It's a manual for profitable living. Its mission is to help you maximize your adventure on earth. Can I hear your amen? Yeah. And how many agree that this book is authored by God? How many of you agree with that? No scripture is of any private interpretation. They are only channeled through human vessels. It is God dictating to men his mind. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, he says, "Seek ye out of the book of the law and read. None of these shall fail, neither shall any want omit. My mouth, it has spoken it, and my spirit, it has gathered them." So the Bible is authored directly by God. Just like our older parents who never went to school, they want to write a letter and they dictate it to their own son or daughter to write for them. And when you write finish, they say, "Okay, read it, let me hear." And when you say, "No, that's not what I said. This is what I said. Read it again." Now, God had them read it over 7 times. How many times? "Okay, write it, Jeremiah." And he wrote it. "Okay, read it back to me. Read it. Okay, read it 2nd time. Read it 3rd time. So it was edited 7 times. That's why they say it's tried in fire 7 times. This is God's manual for profitable living. Profitable living, valuable adventure. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is the Creator's manual for profitable living. The Bible said, "Give attention to reading this book, to exhortations from this book, and to doctrines of this book." And it said, "Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 15. So it is for profitable living. For profitable living. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is a Creator's manual for maximized destiny. Maximized destiny. The Bible says, "This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Maximize lifestyle. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, it said, if you hearken to my voice and observe to do what I tell you to do, I will set you up on high above all nations of the earth. Maximize destiny. Maximize destiny by the application of the word of God. Maximize destiny. Maximize destiny. It's important also to mention here, the Bible is not a mystical book to be conjured. It's a practical book to be applied. The Bible is not a mystical book. It's not a book to quote. It's a book to apply. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not and quoted them. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. It's not a mystical book to be conjured. It's a practical book to be applied. I would like him unto a wise man that has built his house upon the rock. And then when everything else is crashing, it will be standing. Why? It is built upon the rock. It is built upon the rock. So it's not a book to conjure. It's a book to apply. Can I hear your amen? For instance, I heard from heaven, from the word of God, that seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, men. Now, I heard that many, many years ago. That where you find yourself sitting tomorrow is not a product of luck, nor disluck. Where you find yourself sitting tomorrow is a product of your investment in your business, in your field today. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap. So I knew that if I would stay investing qualitatively in my assignment, I will sit before kings tomorrow. I knew that. It's a book to be applied. So I settled down to begin to invest extra hours so I can get extra results and generate extra impact. And it's happening today. When we came 10 years old in Lagos, I announced to them here that for 10 years that we came into Lagos, for 10 years we came into Canaan, I've been out of church on Sunday morning 3 times. 3 times. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before me, amen. Now, for 20 years that we came into Lagos, I've been out of church total 10 times in 20 years on Sunday morning. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? I work average 16 hours a day on my assignment. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Instead of going looking for prophets, looking for herbalists and native doctors to help you, settle down and apply your life to the world. Whatever word you have found is a responsibility given you. That do you like this? This is what to do to get it. Today we have a lazy generation of people that will expect everything and do nothing. And if wishes were horses, all the beggars will ride. The Bible is not a mystical book to be conjured. It's a practical book to be applied. Very importantly. Therefore, because God is the author of leadership, the Bible therefore qualifies to be the most authentic textbook on leadership. Does that make sense? God said to Joshua, the leader, this book. That means your leadership delivery will be determined by what you do with this book. This book is the guarantee for your leadership expression. If you don't commit to the terms and instructions of this book, you are going to fail. So God recommended this book for leadership. Everyone that desires a leadership accomplishment requires this book as his companion. Therefore, like I said, leadership is not in occupying a position, it is in making contributions. It is not in filling up a seat, it is in accomplishing a feat. It is not in the titles that you wear, it is in the values that you add. The values that you add. Leadership is taking the lead, not talking the lead. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So by redemption, you are ordained to take the lead, set the pace, and blaze the trail. Now, there are two gross misconceptions about leadership. A school of thought claims that leaders are born. Nothing can be more far or can be farther from the truth than that. Have you ever met a born pilot? Would you ever board such aircraft? Have you ever met a born professor who never went to school but is now a professor? Have you ever met a born doctor? Well, except native doctors. Have you ever met a born motor mechanic? Now, that means if there are no born pilots, there cannot be born leading pilots. Because you have to be a pilot first because you can become a leading pilot. Leaders are not born, leaders are raised. Leaders are not born, leaders are raised. Leaders are not born, leaders are raised. Another school of thought claims that leadership can be inherited. Can you imagine a professor who is about to die and now will his professorial seat to his son? You've seen that before. Well, that's even not as risky. Have you ever met a world heavyweight wrestling champion who will his belt to his firstborn? And then the boy was stupid enough to go and defend the title in the ring. They will bring back home his dead body. Leadership is not a transferable asset. It is a product of individual's accomplishment. Leadership is not a transferable asset. That's one of the crises today. In political leadership in Africa, where fathers feel they can transfer to their sons, it is all the heresy of the devil. Leadership is not a transferable asset. Leadership is a product of individuals' accomplishment. That's why many companies die in Africa today, particularly, because it is transfer to a son and a daughter who has no capacity to run it. So the business dies and the nation loses at the end. Leadership is not a transferable asset. It's a product of individual's accomplishment.
I have discovered two grand leadership pillars from scriptures. And I want to please take very careful note of these. We all agree that life is a race. That's what the Bible says. Run the race that is set before you with patience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 26, know ye not that in a race run all and one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So life is painted in scriptures as a race. How many agree with that? Life is a race. And you need two legs to participate effectively in any race. So we're trying to look at those two things. There is nothing of value that does not carry a cost. The Bible says, which of you intending to build a tower will not sit down first and count the cost? Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 to 30. Everyone that desires to build his leadership potentials must recognize the cost that it will place on him or her. And so these two fundamental costs are the things I'm trying to bring out here. Now, we saw God speaking through Jethro to Moses in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21 to 24. And that clearly shows us, painted the picture of these two legs. He said to Moses, look ye from among the people and search out, provide from among the people able men. Ever say able? That talks about capacity. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and set them over the people as captain of thousands, captain of hundreds, captains of fifties, and captains of tens. Now, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and then position them as leaders at various levels. He said, if you do these things and God command thee so, that means it wasn't Jethro's idea. It was God speaking through Jethro. These are fundamental leadership requirements, and you can classify that only to two. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Now, it talks about capacity and character. Say with me, capacity. Come on, say it loud. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Now, in Psalm 78 and verse 72, speaking about David, the Bible said he guided Israel according to the integrity of his hand, heart, and the skillfulness of his hand. David the king, David the leader, had two things going for him. The integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. That talks about, again, capacity and character. Integrity of his heart, character. Skillfulness of his hands, capacity. David had capacity and character going for him. Then in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible talks about looking out for men among them of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and of wisdom. Wisdom defines capacity. Good, honest report defines character. So from Old Testament to the New, these two legs were properly painted. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity and character. Capacity connotes intellectual abilities. It is wisdom that defines capacity. The Bible said, by wisdom kings reign and princes decree justice. Yea, and all the judges of the earth. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. It is sense that makes a star and not strength. What makes a star? Sense. Solomon, the greatest king in Bible times, was made by wisdom. By wisdom, kings reign and princes decree justice. Talking about David in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20, he said, "And my Lord is as wise as the wisdom of angels." David was said to have the wisdom of an angel, as wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. Wisdom. Just like you cannot make cake without flour. Every other thing is secondary. Flour is the principal raw material for the making of a cake. In the same way, wisdom is the principal raw material for the making of a leader. Please understand what I'm saying. That's why there are few leaders in our part of the world. Because the word wisdom is mistaken for native intelligence. Mistaken for what? The word wisdom is mistaken for native intelligence. That's far from it. Jesus defined what wisdom is. He said, wisdom, he said, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Wisdom is the acquisition and intelligible application of knowledge. Wisdom is not common sense, it's acquired sense. What is wisdom? That's why there are very poor leaders in a part of the world. People don't have value for knowledge. So they cannot possess the wisdom required for leadership. Wisdom is applied knowledge, not common sense. Common sense will generate common results. Only applied sense has capacity to generate excellence. Understand what I'm talking about, please? This is so important. This is so important. And then we have character. Think of a young man by name Joseph. Joseph said, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God?" Say with me, character. Now, he was a faithful man. He never attempted to defraud Potiphar all his life, even though he was in charge of everything. Character. Character followed him from a slave boy into the prison and brought him out to the palace. Character. 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 Can you see now where the problem of our people in Africa lies? Talking about Daniel, they say he was a faithful man. They could not find anything against him. Say with me, character. Oh, yes. Joseph had capacity and character going for him. When he interpreted the dream, the king said, "Can we find a man like you in this land? I've looked around, we can't find. Your capacity excels above everyone here. Therefore, take over." He had capacity, he had character going for him. Think of Daniel. The Bible said he had an excellent spirit. He was 10 times better than his peers. So he had capacity. And chapter 6 of Daniel said, they couldn't find anything against him except against the law of his God. For he was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. And he was preferred above all the other presidents. He had character and capacity going for him. My sons and daughters in the Lord, this is the only way to find your place in leadership. You need a commitment to godly character. And you need a commitment to capacity development. The two of them in place, no devil. You don't need, no matter how many witches are in your village, that won't stop your way to the top. Particularly because you have been redeemed to reign. Say with me, I've been redeemed to reign. Come on, say it loud if you believe it. Guess what? As far back as 1970, I was 16 years old. I came across the scripture. He has redeemed us unto our God as priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth. He turned my entire mentality. So in those days when I wanted to go out, I would check myself. Will a king go out like this? As small a boy as I was, I will not get involved in anything that is anti-royal. I possessed a very dangerous royal mentality. I have been redeemed as a king to reign on the earth, not in heaven. They call Jesus King of Kings. We are the king is kinging over. So we are not peasants. We are kings by redemption. You need that understanding. I never found myself fighting, whether on the street or in the corner, since 1970. I can't imagine myself do my hand like this to anybody, because kings don't do it. You see, if revelation does not change the way you think, it is fake. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God renews your mind to transform your lives. So if it is true revelation, it affects the way you think. It affects the way you live. I saw me as a priest and a king, ordained by God to reign on the earth as a small boy. One of my young ones is out there in one of the universities around here as a professor. He said, he remember one day I called him by the well. We were all in secondary school. I said, come on, boy. You see, if you want a life that has meaning, stay connected to God. I said, thank you, goodbye. And I asked him to go. Now see, it's so important for you to know you are not among the riff rats. You should stop thinking like a peasant. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. They shouldn't be looking for you at home and they say they don't know where you have gone to. You shouldn't be making a journey like a secret court member. And they look for you. Where is he? We don't know. He went out with his friend. That's an area boy's lifestyle. Up till now, listen, the cooks in my house know where I am now. The reception in my office knows where I am. A king cannot be found missing. They come to the palace where the king, they say they don't know where he's gone to. No. You may not know where the errand boy has gone to, but you must know where the king has gone to. The king has an open schedule. Has what? I have 3 offices on this campus. There is no one I've gone to that they don't know. Okay, I'm going to that one, I'm going to this one. If you need me, call me here. As I say, this crowd, this ministry has a future. Nobody sat down to teach me this. I just discovered them by grace. Now here you are with books, with tapes, with everything, and with living examples all around you. Too many to number. Believe me, I'm not surprised that I'm where I am today. I would have been surprised if I was not there. I've sat one-on-one with too many presidents, too many to number, too many to number. It's important to know you need a commitment to godly character and a commitment to continuous capacity development so you can be current enough to take the lead. You need that. Capacity and character. Now, look at our case now in Africa. Let's look at Abraham first. Abraham said, I'm never going to take a threat from you lest you say you make Abraham rich. As early as the times of Genesis, Abraham will not touch anything bribery. Huh? See what a generational leader came out of him today. Today in Africa, we are character deficient, corruption at its highest peak, and capacity bankrupt. So we are largely fully amputated, contesting with men with two strong legs. You can see why we are where we are as a continent. Two men with two strong iron-like legs are bouncing, and you are fully amputated. They say on your mouth, before you carry the first leg, they have arrived there. Capacity and character. It's important for me to say at this point that even though capacity is the overriding requirement for leadership, it can be cheaply corrupted by character deficiency. Just character. Mention any great name today. If they find cocaine with them, all their values will be eroded overnight. How many agree with that? Even though character is a principal requirement for leadership expression, its sustainability requires character. Capacity will need character to stand. Capacity will take you up. Only character can keep you there. Can I hear your amen? Capacity can take you up. Only character can keep you there. I used to have a staff with me many years ago. He had a PhD. And has a stature to match it. But he was character bankrupt. He left here, went to somewhere else to work. They walked him out of that place publicly, shouting on him. Menstrual rag. Now, you see, capacity gave him opportunities, but he needed character to sustain it. I don't know where he is, but I guess he's still roaming around somewhere in town. So you need the tool to live a meaningful life.
You need character. You need capacity to have full leadership expression in your life.
Now, let me say this. No school, college, or university confers capacity. They only confer certificate. Capacity is your own personal cup of tea.
Amen.
It's a cup that you have to personally prepare the tea and drink it. Capacity is not delivered in any university. They only deliver certificate at the end of your course. Then you go and use your knowledge to acquire and develop capacity.
Does that make sense to somebody here?
I have a number of great people that I admire through their life story. One of them is Benjamin Franklin, and I've told you the story before in one or two of your meetings. Benjamin Franklin had only 2 years formal education. How many years? 2 years formal education. So he literally taught himself how to read and write. But he had an insatiable passion for knowledge. He was a printing apprentice. But he would save his food money. They used to give them lunch money. He would save his food money until he can buy a book he's looking for. So he was going without food to buy books. He began developing his capacity. Men and brethren, Benjamin Franklin is one of the greatest Americans that ever lived. Today there is a Benjamin Franklin Day observed in America every year. There are only 366 days in a year maximum. How can you give a day to one man? Most presidents in America, there is no day given to them. Benjamin Franklin, how? He developed himself to become a great philosopher. Great what? Benjamin Franklin, who had 2 years formal education, developed himself to be one of the greatest American diplomats that ever lived. Benjamin Franklin personally negotiated the French government support for the revolution, which was the only way they won the war. Benjamin Franklin developed himself to become a scientist. He discovered the thunder arrestor that helped to rescue many people from death. He invented, not discovered. Benjamin Franklin built a newspaper, national newspaper, founded a national newspaper. He built a specialist hospital. Dangerous man, one life. And then he founded the University of Pennsylvania, which as at last year was still rated 15th world-ranked university. After 250 years plus. One man, one life. What are you doing with your life? Now, this man went to school only for 2 years. You know how many years he went to school? Most of you are graduates. Now, you went to school 2 years, nursery, 7 years primary or six, making eight. Then 6 years in secondary school by the time you went to school. That's 14. Now, you remember you spent 4 years minimum in the university. That's what? 18. Then you spent 1 year walking around the something as NYC. That's what? 19. Amen. Now listen. 20 years you are wearing student's identity. 18 years fully in school. Somebody was in school for only 2 years. And he didn't live to be 200 years. So how did he accomplish so much? By a commitment to capacity development. This is one major disease of the African man. He can talk from here to China, but to read for 30 minutes, you can't find him. When it's time to dance, you can't beat him. He can dance all day, But you cannot read half an hour. That's Benjamin Franklin. And then another one that will humble you most is Michael Faraday. Michael Faraday grew to become one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. How many science students are here today? Have you heard about Michael Faraday before? You should, otherwise you didn't go to school. Michael Faraday also had a 2-year formal education. How many years? Most professors today became professors on his own discovery, isn't it? Michael Faraday, 2 years formal education. Was also a printing apprentice. But in those days, instead of going to watch home video that people go around going to film houses, in those days people go to pay money to watch scientific experiments, new discoveries. So Michael Faraday was always running after scientific experiments, wherever it was done. And he would take notes and go to the printing shop and bind it and send to whosoever was giving that lecture. He taught himself to read. Does that make sense? That's how much capacity, how much potential is a man. Oh no. You are too loaded to be grounded. You are too loaded to be grounded. You are too loaded to be dubbed a failure. School dropout does not make you a life dropout. Wake up and take responsibility. A degree holds no value. It is a delivery that holds value. Michael Faraday, 2 years from education, and then suddenly, the lab attendant of Humphrey Davis, one of those great scientists that he attended his lecture, left, whether he died or he resigned, whichever one. So he needed a lab attendant, then he went through his material and saw there was a boy that gave him a binded copy of his lecture. He would go and look for that boy, whether he's interested to be a lab attendant. So Michael Faraday, of world renown, was a lab attendant. A lab attendant became a world acclaimed scientist. What a paradox. Even in the lifetime of Humphrey Davis, the professor, people said that Michael Faraday was a more logical thinker than Humphrey Davis. By investment in knowledge and enhancing his own capacity, he turned out to be somebody unusual. Now, I've used those ones because they are believers. Just to let you know, being born again does not excuse you for the demands of leadership. The price of leadership is universal. Where you live does not matter. It's the same price. There is nowhere in the world where cars are given out for free. They buy them. You can't have a majestic ride in life in your field without paying the price for it. There are many business people among you now, as young as you are, who have not read one piece of literature in their business in their life. And they want to take the lead. You can't use common sense to get extraordinary results. Common sense will only guarantee common results. Everybody here needs to wake up and go and do something about his life. I have vowed never to embark on any venture in my life on common sense. To get married, I read 8 books on marriage. How many? Instead of messing up in future, let me prepare for the future. I read 8 books on marriage. To get into ministry, because I didn't train as a regular missionary or pastor, I read 39 biographies. How many? Of selected great ministries, so I could understand their steps and how they made it happen. This great church didn't come out of the blues. I was a student of Paul Yonggi Cho in the school of church growth and bought into the insight that he used to build that extraordinary transgenerational church. Throughout the year 85, I was studying him. Today we are getting closer. This is so important. I don't care how great your vision. It takes the two legs of character and capacity to drive it. It takes the two legs of character and capacity to drive it. It takes the two legs of character and capacity to drive it. So instead of going around browsing the internet for jazz and nonsense all your life, settle down and tell yourself bitter truth. I don't have a spare life. If I waste this one, it's wasted. Let me make the most of this one. If I waste this one, it's wasted. It's wasted. So until you pass the character test, you cannot imagine a great leader. Character failure will always result in leadership failure. And the good news is it's possible to maintain integrity in a world of corruption. We've done that in the main church, in the main service today. As we round up today, I'd like you to understand this. I have a responsibility to develop two strong covenant legs of character and capacity in order to participate effectively in the leadership race of life. It's a leadership race. You need two legs to be there. And the two legs, as said, includes character and capacity. Character and capacity. Character and capacity. As Jesus studies, you'll be married for your lifetime. Amen. So why do you mess up your glorious future to form fear? Why must you sell off your future to sexual perversion? Why must you sell off your future to moral decadence? They can't fix you. You say once they forget him. There are people today in the world, when we hear them, we say, well, anything you hear from him, cross-check from 10 other places. It may not be true. You see, it, just that. Why must you sell off to covetousness? Deceiving parents. Collecting fake money. Bringing home fake results. Some are repeating. Their parents are not aware. And they are believers, in quote. In our own time, when you say that somebody is a Christian, anything he tells you, you don't find out from anywhere. You are just too sure. If you give him money and he says the money is lost, you don't cross-check. Because you know it must be lost before he will say it's lost. In our own time, when you commit fornication, you go to report. You go yourself to report. I'm sorry, I'm finished. Please help me. Help me. Crying and sobbing. Not just playing foul all around town. The issue is, the demand remains the same. It takes character and capacity to maximize your adventure in leadership. It will never have expression except you are truly committed. I close with this simple analogy. A woman went to Jesus and was worshiping him, and Jesus said, oh, Mary, what's the matter? The worship today looks so extraordinary. He said, Master, grant that when you get to thy kingdom, one of my sons will be on your right, the other one will be on your left. He said, you don't know what you're asking. They don't pray into leadership, they pay into it. They do what? You don't pray. You don't go to 40 days fasting and prayer to pass exam. No. You sit down to study. Hello? You sit down to what? You sit down to study. He said, he turned to the two boys, can ye drink the cup of which I drink? Or baptize with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, yeah, Lord. He said, yeah, that's all. He said, raise. How much of that cup you drink? And how much of that baptism you are interested in will determine your ultimate placement. So there's a cup to drink. There's a baptism to receive. Amen. You need to drink the cup of character and the baptism of capacity for you to qualify for leadership. Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20 to 23. That's very important. I'd like to let you go this afternoon with this understanding. Where I find myself tomorrow is my making today. In my place, they say the soup that is sweet, it is money that made it. The soup that is sweet, what made it? Money. The destiny that is great, it is this character and capacity that made it so. Somebody here is getting out to take responsibility. If that looks like you, let me hear your loudest amen. That looks like you, let me hear your loudest amen. That looks like you, let me hear your loudest amen. We have this little repackaged book titled Ruling Your World. It's a simple book, a recipe for impactful living. I recommend this for you to get a copy, if you can, from any of the bookstands around. It will help you give a bearing to your life. It's a package I believe will help every young man to take responsibility early enough. For instance, I can't be a sports star anymore. It's late. When they test my body, they say, no. This will be a liability. The time is past. The time is past. I have been president of this ministry since I was 28. Since what? Don't let any devil make you think you're a baby. You're already getting overgrown. So wake up and take responsibility early. John Milton once said, just as the morning shows the day, the child shows the man. When you wake up in the morning, you can tell what the day will look like. When you see a child, you can tell what his tomorrow will look like. Go and take responsibility. One of my respected elder ones work here in the Covenant University. And he was saying to them when I was 55, he said, when I was a little boy, they always speak among themselves, look, this one doesn't look like one of us. It's always somewhere doing something profitable. When others are junketing around, you find him just walk down to a primary school during holidays and settle down there for the day. And he comes back home as if he has eaten some food there. You see, just as the morning shows the day, the child shows the man. I can't remember if I was any time in my life on holidays. It has become a lifestyle. I still read daily, and I write daily, as unbusy as I am. Do something with your life. A great future awaits you. I say a great future awaits you. Yeah. Your generation will not suffer the humiliation that our own generation suffered. Yeah. Nobody ever sat down to teach us leadership. Now you are being taught. We never even thought that we are part of the leadership that the world is looking for. We never thought so. But now you are born in due season to make an unusual impact on your generation. If you will take responsibility. And if you won't take responsibility today, you will die a liability tomorrow. So why don't you take responsibility? One day I went on a journey, 1987, 22 years ago. And when I came back with so much books. I bought books worth $9,600. Hello? In those days, $2,000 will get you a car. And my wife said, what did you come back with? I said, come and see. So I took her to my library. and showed, opened the first bag, first box, books from top to bottom. Opened the second one, books. Thought, he said, enough. Okay, what else did you bring? I said, that's all else I brought. Amen. Now hear this. And I said to her, if I can only get an understanding of the contents of these books, I can become a manufacturer of the things I will have bought. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
Is that not happening today? That is, your value for knowledge is what defines the quality of your tomorrow. Say with me, value for knowledge. So if you are thinking of inheriting your father's inheritance, you will die a pauper. Leadership is not an inheritable virtue. It's not a transferable asset. It is a product of individuals' accomplishment, which is a function of individuals' investment. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Is somebody blessed this afternoon? Rise to your feet. Lift up your two hands and give God thanks. This meeting continues tomorrow at 3 p.m. We have three shots on leadership. And I'm sure you are on already enjoying it. Lift up your hands, give thanks to God for what you have received this afternoon.
If you have been blessed by this message, we encourage you to join God's fullness at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10, Iriroko Road, every Sunday in either of the two services at 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. and every Wednesdays at the communion service from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Or you can log on to www.davidoyedepoministries.org for live webcasts. For prayers and counseling, please call 01-7747-546, 01-7747-547, or 01-7747-548. Or you can write to PMB 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. You can also visit www.dominionbooksonline.com for online purchases of over 50 books of anointed materials from Bishop David Oyedepo. Live a victorious life.